Welcome back to Studio A here on Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Theater critic Jaewyn Russick is here with her weekly review. But before we get to that, a word about changes on the way at the Baltimore Health Department. Dr. Lena Wen, who has served the city as our health commissioner since 2015, announced yesterday that she will be leaving the department next month to become the president of Planned Parenthood. So we'll have a chance to talk to Dr. Wen about this new opportunity for her and for Planned Parenthood when she's here for the next Midday Health Watch on October 11th. Her last day at the health department is the following day. Dr. Wen has garnered a national reputation as one of our country's most effective public health advocates, and she has had a transformative effect on many health outcomes here in Baltimore. Mayor Catherine Pugh has announced a national search for her replacement, and we will keep you posted as that search proceeds. And here at WYPR, it was announced yesterday that Tony Brandon, who has served as the station's president and general manager since 2002, will retire in June. Our station has expanded in many ways during Tony's tenure. There will be a national search for his replacement as well, and as that search proceeds and afterwards, we will, as always, remain committed to providing you with the best programming that we know how to create. And as promised, Jaewyn Russick, our theater critic, is here with me in studio. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So the Everyman Theater is opening their season with a play that won a Tony, evidently. It's called Dancing at Lunasa. I know this isn't a new play, but by the way, what is Lunasa? Never heard of it.
Lunasa is an ancient Gaelic harvest festival, and the play has a recurring theme about the conflict and similarities between pagan, secular, and Catholic ceremonies and beliefs. This is a semi-autobiographical memory play, as you said, not a new play, written in 1990 by the late great Irish playwright Brian Friel. Friel calls his alter ego Michael. He takes us back to the summer of 1936 in County Donegal, around the time of the festival of Lunasa. He explains that he grew up with his mother and her four older sisters, all unmarried, and he has two strong memories from that summer. One is that his family got their first radio, and the second is that his uncle, a Catholic priest, came home after working for 25 years in a leper colony in Uganda. It will turn out that this is the last time the family was all together and really had any shared happiness. I brought a clip of these Catholic sisters' excitement at the wild idea of going to a dance.
How many years has it been since we were at the harvest dance? At any dance? And I don't care how young they are, how drunk and dirty and sweaty they are, I want to dance, Kate. Oh, it's the festival of Lunasa. I'm only 35, I want to dance.
I know, Agnes. But all the same, I just don't know if it's...
It's settled, we're going, the Monday girls, all five of us together.
Yes, much excitement in that household. Annie Grier, Barry Hochwald, and Katie Kleiger. They're three of the five sisters in Dancing at Lunasa at the Everyman. So, Judy, ensemble cast, does the cast, are they convincing as a family?
They pretty much are. Of the actors portraying family members, three are part of the resident company at Everyman, and two others have been at Everyman before. So there's somewhat of a built-in familial rapport. Brian Friel gave each sister a very distinct personality, and the cast lets us see those differences, as well as their shared concern for each other. Barry Hochwald, one of the actresses we just heard, plays the oldest sister. She's a teacher. She's the only one who has a regular job. She's very stern. She's also desperate to place her faith in God. Megan Anderson plays the next in line. She's a kidder. She's a joker. She likes riddles. But like her older sister, she's probably more realistic about the tough times that this family is facing. Katie Kleiger, whom we also just heard, plays the youngest sister, Michael's mother, who had him out of wedlock. She's a romantic. She's a dreamer. I have to talk about the other two sisters together. They're played by Annie Grier and Leisha McGee. Greer's character comes across as the most sensitive. This is a really fine performance, by the way. She watches out for McGee's character, who has what would today be called a mild intellectual disability. They bring a little money in by knitting gloves. Bruce Randolph Nelson plays the brother. He is much older, unlike his sisters, and he plays him as a very gentle soul, but he's come back from Africa more pagan than Catholic, and this really worries his sisters. It's a tight-knit family, to make a pun, speaking of knitting. About three-quarters of the way into the play, we learn that a knitting factory is coming to the area, and this is not a positive development for Aggie and Rose, the sisters who make the handmade gloves. Here's a clip of two of their sisters, played by Katie Kleiger and Megan Anderson, discussing this.
There's a new factory started up in Donegal Town. They make machine gloves more quickly there, far more cheaply. And the people here used to supply by their gloves direct from the factory.
Oh, Chrissy, that's awful news.
She said they're organizing buses to bring the workers to the factory back every day. Most of the people who used to work have signed on. She tried to get a job there herself. They told her she was too old. She's 41. The poor woman could hardly speak.
Oh, God. Poor Aggie. And poor Rose, what'll they do?
Katie Kleiger and Megan Anderson in the Everyman Theater's production of Dancing at Lunasa. So, Judy, how important is dancing in this play?
Very important.
One would think.
Yes. And there is a lot of it and a lot of talk about dancing. This family leads a very limited lifestyle in a very remote area of Ireland, and dance is one of their only forms of release, their only forms of escape. The radio plays an important role. Once they have music, it inspires dancing. There's a wonderful, really infectious scene fairly early on. The sisters are working in the kitchen, the radio's turned on. Megan Anderson's character is the first one to break into dance. She's been baking and she has flowers. She has flour all over her face, and soon they're all dancing with abandon and spewing flour. Katie Kleiger's character is wearing their brother's lacy surplus. Barry Hochwald's stern character resists as long as she can, and she finally joins in. These sisters kick and they stamp and they slam their hands on the table. They strew more flour, as I said. And by the end, Annie Greer's character is dancing on top of the table. It's quite a scene. And the brother, the priest, at one point relives an African harvest ceremony. And when you see that, you realize that his pagan dance is a lot like the sisters' dance that I just described. There's no choreographer listed in the program, Tom, but I assume the credit for the choreography goes to director Amber Page McGinnis, and she does a very nice job with it.
All right, so that's the dancing. How about the look of the rest of the production, the sets, costumes, that kind of stuff?
I found the set a little too limiting and too restricting. There are two acting areas side by side, the kitchen and the yard. Now, the family's lives are very constricted and confined, but a little less literal set might have given them more playing area. What struck me most about the costumes was that the women are almost always in aprons. That's how much housework they're doing. I also want to mention what this production sounds like. It includes recorded music by a DC-based Celtic group called Pigeon Kings, and also some original music by sound designer Philip Owen. And this is all just lovely. The music is so evocative, I really wish there could have been more of it. Another lovely aspect of the staging is the scenes with Tim Getman, who does a fine job as Michael, the play's narrator. And when Michael is 7 years old, Getman stands outside the scene and speaks the boy's lines in his adult voice. We don't actually see the boy. It's a very nice way to reinforce that this is indeed a memory play.
All right, great. So just a little time left, but bottom line here, would you recommend that we join the dance at the Everyman Theater for Dancing at Lunasa?
I would. I absolutely would. Friel has been compared to Chekhov, and he's been compared to Tennessee Williams, and those literary forebears all come through at Everyman. For me, this is more a play about a mood, about reflection. In the last monologue, Michael refers to a memory in which atmosphere is more real than incident. And every man does a nice job setting up that atmosphere and that mood.
All right, atmosphere and incident. All right, Dancing at Lunasa. It's at the Everyman Theater right here in Baltimore until October 7th. And we've got a link to details about the show times and all that stuff on our website, wypr.org/midday. So next week, Judy, we're going to go to the Rep Stage in Washington. What are we going to see?
We're going to see.
Or hear about.
We're going to hear about.
You're
going
to see. I'm going to hear about.
I'm going to tell you about Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
I've even heard of that one. There you go. All right. Look forward to it. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it, too.
Lunch today provided by Eddie's of Roland Park, Baltimore's gourmet grocer since 1944. Eddie's of Roland Park offers a selection of local gift baskets and Maryland jumbo lump crab cakes that can be shipped anywhere throughout the United States. Details online at Eddie's of Roland Park. www.theactorsportingfamilymembers3apart.com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, it's another in our series of conversations with the candidates. My guest will be Democratic nominee for Baltimore County Executive John Olszewski Jr. Hope you join us then. On behalf of the entire Midday team, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing to our podcast and finding us on Twitter. We appreciate it. Stay tuned for Here and Now. That's on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.